online. It's not being videoed, but it's being audioed, and you can sure get it and get this word. And one of the things that we've done here, starting several weeks ago, is we've got folks to just write down something that they would like to hear preached about. And so that is how we have come up with some of the last four or five words that were given here. And we want to continue to do that. I think what's being asked is really, really good. Just write it down on a piece of paper or come up here with a pencil or pen, and I'll write it on this here, and I'll make sure it gets in. And every message for the last 5 weeks has been something that somebody wanted to hear. So that's wonderful. And tonight, someone wrote this down. Why did Jesus descend into hell? And we're going to share about that for the next few minutes. We won't cover all of it, but you know what? This right here, you can get all you want about that subject. I guarantee you, it'd take I don't know how long to do every last thing that there is about it. But if you would please turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. And we will dig right in. Wherefore, he saith, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? Let me say that again. Jesus descended first. First, into the lower parts of the earth. I want to read that again. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's the first place that he went after the crucifixion. The original text had no periods, commas, modern stuff like that. Jesus told one of the thieves that were next to him, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, I'm going to tell you this day, I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. And many believe that's about the way he said it, or he could have been saying it, because we're going to find out that where Jesus went, he descended into part of the earth, Sheol in the Greek, Hades in Sheol in the Hebrew, Hades in the Greek, and there was a place there, it's spoken of many times in the Word of God, and there was two parts of it. One part of that, and this is not the lake of fire, which is the final resting place for everybody that doesn't go to heaven, is going to be in the lake of fire. And death and the grave are also going to be cast into the lake of fire. So that's what he did. He descended into, and where was Jesus when his body laid in the tomb? He descended into the lower parts of the earth for a great, 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 great purpose. In Matthew 12 and 40, let's go there in the word here, and I'm going to read from there. These are the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 12. And verse 40, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation that says this. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Jesus spoke of it before it happened. This is a subject that is very easy to study because there is one verse after another verse after another verse. This is also the subject of YouTube, and YouTube has got a lot of great things, a lot of good, accurate things about Jesus going. Why did Jesus go to Hades? So Jesus said he would be there 3 days and three nights. And now I want to begin to talk about why he was there. He was there because due to the fall of mankind, Satan, that was his domain, he had control over it until Jesus died on the cross. And he went down to hell. And he went down to hell not to suffer down there, but to show a great victory down there. And Jesus took the keys to hell and the grave. And he led people out of there. There were two parts. He'd spoken another parable in the Gospels. One part of Sheol was for the ones that were in Abraham's bosom, called. And these are the people that died, and they were good people, let's just say it that way. And then the other side was people that were not so good. Every major denomination teaches this just the same, because this is what happened. There's a mystery to that. There's things that I believe that I don't understand. But I'd purposed in my heart many years ago that I would believe whether I could comprehend or not. I was just going to take the Lord at what he had to say. Now, let's go. I'm going to put a verse in here that I wasn't going to. You can turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know that that I put this one in. I had so many, and I left way, way more. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 18. And 19. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. Now, that what that means is this: for all time, that's all. He died for the sins of the people before the cross and after the cross. He died for your sins before you got saved, and he died for your sins after you got saved. Christ himself never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached. Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from that, but he went and preached there. And he led a multitude of people out of there. Now, let's look in Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look at verse 14. I find this a very interesting subject, and I'm going to tell you, it took me some years, before I grasped as much as I have of it now. And I don't believe I completely understand it all, but I certainly understand a lot of it. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. See, you know, it's taken me many years also. You know, everybody dies, but you know what? He didn't have to. I mean, he was God. He always was. He always will be, but he died as a human being. And when he died, he didn't die for his sins because he never sinned. But he died for the sins of the whole world. All of them. Even children that are not born yet. And was that catastrophic? Well, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God, while that sin was being placed on his Son, he made Jesus forsaken to him. And Jesus took on the sins of the world. And when Jesus in the garden three times said, Father in heaven, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, let it pass. It was more terrible than we could possibly believe. And it was more powerful than most people understand. You know, some pretty awesome things happened. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to go there for just a moment. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. And what does that mean? The word says, Paul said, leave every person to work out their own salvation. Well, what are you working out? The things that are passing away and the things that are becoming new. And you're becoming a new creation day by day while you are here. Some people are here longer than others. Well, how does that all work out? I don't know. But if you still wonder when you get up there, ask somebody that's been there for a while. They'll tell you. Maybe Jesus, somebody. Amen. I have some questions. I'm not even going to tell you the ones I want to ask. But we just have to realize what's been given to us. He who knew no sin, he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And we can. This is how come Hebrews 4:16 says this. Let us enter boldly into the throne room of grace. One thing I did when I was raising kids, I've raised five, and I loved every minute of it, and I miss it, was this. Every time that I can remember that my kids said, Dad, can I have that? I always said yes, no matter what it was. Because if I'm listening, every time I go into a store, the Lord says, son, you can have anything you want. And I wanted my children to grow up believing that they were special. Not because they did the right thing every day, but because they belong to Millie and I, and because they belong to God. And that God has the ability to answer prayer more and more. I am only interested in praying with people that believe in answered prayer. Because even Jesus, it says in one place in the gospel, in that place he could not do many great miracles because of their lack of faith. You have to believe. And you know what? We are trained in this world, in America. I can't speak of it. I've been in a couple other countries, but not long enough to. But that everything points us to not believing that. But I'm telling you, I believe more than when I first got saved. And, you know, when you're born again, you have to have the faith for that. But that particular part of salvation, of prayer, it's a gift from God. And all you have to do is come just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. We should come that way every morning. We should present ourselves to God every morning that way. We should speak the words of Jesus and say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, because I love you and because I trust you and because I want to please you. Father, all the things that you've given me in my life, all the extra chances, all the anything I wanted. Now, I know that sounds terrible to some, but I said, "You, all those things, I'm learning to pray this. Now, Father, you gave me something. Let me use that something for your glory, to bring glory to God." That is perfect harmony with the truth. You have not because you ask not, the word says. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it definitely will be opened up unto you. And I'm preaching, why did Jesus descend into hell? And in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we are going to read verses 17 and 18. I'm going to read in the NLT, the New Living Translation, and you follow with me in whatever you have. And I think they're going to put that up in the NLT also. This is Jesus talking to John. And when I saw, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go all the way up here to verse 12. And if you can do that up there, if not, it's not, it's my fault. But to really get an understanding of what's happening here, it says, this is John speaking. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden lampstands, verse 13. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. And if I can tell you one thing about God, don't be afraid of God. Give him the kind of respect and fear that you would a parent, because he will correct you if you're one of his. But don't be afraid. In the red letter Bible, these words that I'm about to read are written in red because these are the words of your Savior and mine. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And look what he's got. You know what he went, part of the reason he went down in there? And I now have, I have the keys to death and the grave. And if you want to understand what really happened, Jesus went down there in total victory, and he backed everybody up. And he made an open show, the Word of God says, of Satan and all the demonic forces that are spoken of in Romans 12. No, I'm sorry, Romans 6, which says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places and on earth, demons, fallen angels. It's a conglomerate of all kinds of evil. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. Praise God. I want to say that some of the last of what's going to happen, we're in Revelation. Look with me at Revelation 20 and verse 14. While we're here, we might as well. And I want to show you something. Then death and the grave. Everybody say death and the grave. Death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name is not found recorded in the book of life is thrown in the lake of fire with death and the grave. There won't be any more death and the grave. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, the early church, starting about 175 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, developed what is called the Apostles' Creed. And for all that time, and many, it's requisite to say at their water baptism, and some churches say it every service. Now, I've got it here, and I'm going to show it to you, the Apostles' Creed and what it says. This is what people all over the world of every denomination say. They say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. He descended to hell. That's part of the requisite for many whole denominations at the beginning of a water baptism service. And I see nothing wrong with it. Because if you don't believe these things, it's going to affect your salvation. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the true Christian church of all times and all places. Now, there are denominations that put their own denomination in right there. And I don't have a problem with that. I can't afford the luxury of being anybody against anybody that is in church. My first brush with religion was the Catholic Church. I was raised, man, if you were brought up in my neighborhood in Chicago, you was Catholic at least once, I guarantee you. And I love the Catholic people. I love them. But I believe in the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people have recited the Apostles' Creed. Now, please trust me in this here. Jesus descending into the earth was an act of war. He was showing everybody down there that it's over. And he made a show of them openly, took the keys away from them. In the last book of the Bible, he says, I've got all the keys. There's only one heavyweight champion of the world. It's Jesus. One of the things that happened during the crucifixion, there was a terrible earthquake. Also, the sun was dim for like 3 hours. And when he said, it is finished, people came out the graves and showed themselves to many people. That was the power that was unleashed. And the word says in Corinthians, if the princes of darkness of this world would have understood what it meant to kill Jesus, they'd have never killed him. Because when he said it was finished, honey, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, I hope everybody in here has done that, because whether or not you have, if you do, he'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know this. This is a interdenominational message on the subject, why did Jesus descend into hell? And anybody of any savvy in any denomination will agree with everything I said. I didn't say anything that was leaning. I just stayed right in the middle of it. What an interesting subject. Take your phone and look it up. I'm telling you, there's hundreds of Bible verses on this subject. Now, we're going to take communion, and I'm going to ask you, would you please make an altar somehow? Come to the altar, make an altar, just by